Miscellaneous reading hotkeys. So far, we've shown you how Windowize works in specific applications and in certain situations. But there are quite a few commands that are very useful, which didn't really have a better place to be put in this tutorial, but we still wanted to make you aware of them, so we're going to list them here. To demonstrate these keys, I've opened up Notepad again, and I've created a simple document that has just one sentence, and it says,
"Here is some text."
Here is some text. The first hotkey I want to show you is the command for getting context-sensitive help. This is done with Control-Shift-Slash, or think of it as Control-Question-Mark, question mark meaning help. Let's press that now and see what happens.
Application information as a Notepad application consists of a large edit box in which you can type text into. By default, Word edit box. Dialog application help.
Okay, so we're now in an application help window that is provided with Windowize. In this case, there is specific information pertaining to how to use Notepad. This is just a regular edit box. We can just use our standard reading keys. So let's press down arrow a few times to hear what's in this box.
Wrap is not enabled. This means that lines can extend beyond the screen. Windowize will still read the entire line regardless of whether it's visible. To type the word wrap, press Alt O followed by W. The following are some of the Notepad hotkeys and their functions.
We can continue arrowing through this window to see what other additional information is provided for Notepad. If help hasn't been made for the application that you're in, then Windowize will show context-sensitive help to tell you how to use the control that has focus. For example, if you're in WordPad, you will hear information about the rich edit control that might be focused. If you're in Microsoft Word, you'll hear information pertaining to Word. If you're in a list box, then the context-sensitive help will tell you how to work with that control, and so forth. What's nice about this context-sensitive help is that the help text is not set in stone. You can change it so that Windowize will give you the information that best helps you. We're not going to change anything right now, but just know that you can. Let's tab through this dialog really quick.
Help applies to application, the radio button, check 3 of 3.
So you have three options for where this help text will apply. Right now, it's set to application. If we up arrow, we'll get to the other two options.
Help applies to dialog, D radio button, check 2 of 3.
If the program that we are in uses multiple dialog boxes, then we can make individual help for each dialog. For example, Microsoft Word has a spell check dialog. And if you were to press the context sensitive help key while you were inside the spell checker, then Windowize would show you help related to the spell checker. And this is possible because you can set context sensitive help for dialog boxes. Let's up arrow again.
Help applies to Control T radio button, check 1 of 3.
And then we have help applies to control. Let's say we went back to our help area and typed in some text. Now the control that has focus is an edit box. The next time we were in an edit box, regardless if it was a Notepad or not, and we decided to press context-sensitive help, then we would see this help text. So if you find that there's a certain kind of control that's giving you problems, and you want to jot down a reminder of how to use it, then what you would do is bring up the context-sensitive help, tab over to this group of radio buttons, and set the help applies to control option, and then go back and type in your help text. And then each time you opened context-sensitive help, when that kind of control had focus, then you would always see your reminder text. Let's tab again.
Generic control information, G, edit area of Notepad.
And here's the actual edit box where we can type information about the control that has focus. Tab again.
Save S button.
We can save our changes.
Close button.
And we can close the dialog box. Let's go ahead and press the escape key to close.
Untitled Notepad.
The next feature I want to show you is the key describer. When this is on, you can press just about any key or combination of keys on your keyboard to hear what they do. This is especially useful if you're trying to learn how to use Windowize commands, but you don't want to actually perform them. You just want to experiment with the keystrokes. If Windowize recognizes what you just entered as a command, it will speak some information describing what the command does. Key describer is turned on with insert 1. That's the insert key and the number 1 on the main row of keys on your keyboard.
Key describer on.
Okay, now that key describer is on, I can start typing text.
T-A-I-S-P-I-S-P-A-S-P-T-E-S-T.
Now, even though I'm typing those characters, they're not appearing in my Notepad window. Windowize is just telling me what I'm typing. Let's hit a few Windowize commands and see what kind of information we get. First, let's press Control Backslash, which by default will open the Windowize control panel.
Control Backslash menu activates the Windowize voice control panel.
Let's try the read current line command, which, remember, is Control Numpad 5.
Control Center Line. Voice is the line containing the cursor. If no cursor is present, performs a speech summary.
Let's try Control Shift Slash, which remember is the context help we just talked about.
Control Shift Question Program Help accesses the help for the currently focused window. This help can be changed by the user.
And so on. There's a few ways to turn Key Describer off. You can press Insert 1 a second time. Or, if you press a system command, for example, the Windows key to open the Start menu, or you Alt-Tab out of the current window and into another one, that will turn Key Describer off as well. We wanted to be sure that there was no way for you to completely get trapped in the Key Describer if you didn't mean to. So let's press Insert 1 to turn this back off.
Insert 1. Key Describer off.
So if you're still very new to WindowWise and you just want to experiment with some of the commands, the Key Describer is a great way to learn them without actually having to worry about performing them. The next command I want to talk about is the Speak Summary hotkey, which is activated with Control-Shift-S. Speak Summary will describe the control that you are in. So for example, we are in an edit box right now. If I were to press Control-Shift-S, we would hear what's in the edit box.
Here is some text.
Now let's press the Alt key to go to the mini bar and see what happens.
File F pull down. File F pull down.
So WindowWise told us where we are. If you're on a button, WindowWise will describe the button. If you're in a list, WindowWise will describe the item that currently has focus in the list. Something extra that you will notice is that if you're in browse mode, for example, in Internet Explorer, Firefox, or Adobe Reader, then Control-Shift-S will describe the contents of the buffer. For example, it will tell you the number of lines, links, forms, headings, objects, lists, tables, etc., along with your current position within the buffer. For example, it might tell you that the web page has 300 lines and that you're on line 80. Also, if you hit Control Numpad 5 to read the current line that has focus, then WindowWise will try to do that if there's a cursor. But if there's no cursor there, then Control Numpad 5 will just perform a speak summary. So this way, you can rely on Control Numpad 5 to always tell you about the item that has focus, regardless of whether or not it has a cursor. Next, the Read Window command, which is accessed with Control-Shift-W, will read the contents of the active window. Let's do that now.
Untitled notepad file F pull down, edit E pull down, format O pull down, view V pull down, help page pull down, here is some text.
And we just heard the entire contents of the notepad window. You might be wondering where this would be useful, and the answer to that is anytime you want to hear the contents of the window, really. But most times, it's useful if you are in a dialog box and you want to hear the contents of the dialog. For example, the program you're in popped a message box up at you, and you wanted to read it in one go without having to use your mouse. Control-Shift-W, in this case, will do exactly that. This next hotkey we kind of touched up on before is Control-Shift-T to read the title of the current application. Let's do that now.
Untitled Notepad Normal.
Okay, we heard two things. We heard the title of the application, which is Untitled Notepad, and then we heard the status of the window. In this case, WindowWise said that it's normal. That means that the notepad window is its normal size, and we can see other windows on the screen. We can change the status of the notepad window. For example, if you're in a word processor, it's usually best to make sure that the window is maximized so that WindowWise can more easily read the text in the window. To do that, let's press Alt Space to go to the System menu.
Space. Restore are disabled.
Notice that Restore is disabled because the window is already its normal size. So let's just press the down arrow until we get to Maximize.
Move M. Size S. Minimize N. Maximize X.
There's Maximize.
Close C.
And then there's Close.
Restore are disabled.
And we've now wrapped around to the top of the menu. We can arrow back to Maximize, or in this case, just press the letter X.
X. Menu closed.
And now the menu has been closed, and we are back in the main part of Notepad. Now let's press Control-Shift-T again and see what WindowWise tells us.
Untitled Notepad Maximized.
Now it says Untitled Notepad Maximized. So now Notepad is occupying the entire contents of my screen, except for the taskbar and the start button and all of that stuff at the bottom. So if something isn't reading right for you, chances are you need to change the state of the window. For example, if the window is normal and it's not reading right, then you need to maximize it. If it's maximized and it's not reading right, you can restore it to normal, and doing this more times than not will improve how WindowWise reads these windows. Next is the Read Status Line command, and this is done with Control Insert S. The status line is usually at the bottom of your program window, and as the name suggests, it gives you some general status information about the program. For example, if you're in a word processor, it might tell you the number of pages in the document and which page you are on, your position, whether or not any formatting is enabled, and so forth. Let's press Ctrl Insert S in Notepad and see what we hear.
Insert. Here is some text.
Well, Notepad doesn't actually have a status bar showing right now, so we heard the bottom line of the window, which in this case is in my document area. So when you press Ctrl Insert S to read the status line, WindowEyes will try to find what is being designated as the actual status bar. However, if one is not found, then WindowEyes will just default to reading the last line in the window, which, more times than not, will also yield status information. Next, I want to show you the field name and field data keys. To best demonstrate this, I'm going to go to the Format menu with Alt-O.
Oh, Word Ramp W.
And go down to Font.
Font. Menu closed. Font F plus a console area 149 combo edit box. Dialog font.
Okay, we are now in Notepad's font dialog box. If I press Ctrl-Shift-N, WindowEyes will announce the name of the field that has focus.
Font F.
And we heard Font F. I can press that again.
Font F.
Likewise, Ctrl-Shift-D will read the data that's in the current field. So let's press that now.
Plus a console.
The difference between field name and field data is simply this. The field name is typically a label for a control. For example, if you're filling out a form, you might have fields for first name, last name, age, date of birth, etc. Those are all the field names. Field data is the actual content or answers to these questions. So for example, your actual first name, your actual last name, your actual age, whether or not you're married, and so forth, would be considered the field data. So Ctrl-Shift-N will read the label of the field, i.e. first name, and Ctrl-Shift-D will read the data within that field. Steve, for example. Both of these keys won't work all of the time. They worked in this case because it makes sense. This combo edit box does have a field name, also known as a label, and it has data. But let's tab a few times until we get to a button, and then let's try using these keys.
Font style Y rank, size S10-3, script R West, link show more font, OK button.
Here's a button. Let's press Ctrl-Shift-N to read the field name. And all we got was a ding. That's because this is a button and it doesn't have a field name. But if we press Ctrl-Shift-D,
OK button,
we hear the data, which is OK. Similarly, if we tab again to the cancel button,
cancel button.
Let's try Ctrl-Shift-N. We get a ding, Ctrl-Shift-D,
cancel button,
cancel. So again, depending on the field that has focus, these keys will act a little differently. But they're very useful to know, especially if you want WindowEyes to repeat specific pieces of information. Let's press the Escape key to close this dialog box.
Untitled Notepad. Here is some text. Edit box.
The next key I want to talk about is the Time and Date key. This command will work anywhere in Windows, and you can access it by pressing Insert T. Let's do so now.
7:42 p.m. Thursday, December 30, 2010.
And that just tells us the time and the date. WindowEyes uses the regional settings that have been set up in your computer. My region is set to the United States of America, so if yours is different, then WindowEyes will announce the time and date as you would expect to hear it. Another key that's useful, especially to laptop users, is the battery status key. This is accessed with Insert Q. Let's press that now.
Estimated battery charge 100% plugged in.
Estimated charge left 100% plugged in. So pressing this key just lets me quickly hear the status of my battery, and if applicable, how much estimated time is remaining. And if your computer does not have a battery, then pressing Insert Q will just cause WindowEyes to say, no battery. The final hotkey I want to tell you about is the bypass key. There are times when WindowEyes hotkeys might conflict with those of your application. A good example of this is most email clients, such as Windows Live Mail, use Ctrl-Shift-R to initiate a reply to all. Unlike a standard reply, this will reply to everyone to whom the message was sent, not just the sender. Well, there's a problem, and that is that the WindowEyes read-to-end command is also Ctrl-Shift-R. So if you're in a message and you press Ctrl-Shift-R, WindowEyes is going to get that command first and start reading the message instead of hitting the reply to all option like you might expect. To get around this, press the bypass key, which is Insert B. And what that does is tells WindowEyes to ignore the following key press and pass it on to the application. So let's say you press Insert B, and then you press Control-Shift-R. Where WindowEyes would say bypass, WindowEyes would ignore that Control-Shift-R because you're bypassing it and send that command to your email client. The client would receive it and initiate a reply to all, like you would expect. And if this becomes a regular problem for whatever program you are in, you can always redefine or even undefine the WindowEyes hotkey that's causing the problem. So there are many, many more hotkeys that we haven't even talked about that you still might find useful, and there are probably other hotkeys that you won't care about. All of these are listed in the hotkey reference at the end of the WindowEyes User's Manual. We do have many, many customers, and so there are a lot of needs we have to serve, and we do our best to provide as much flexibility as possible to meet these needs. That wraps it up for this section, so let's move on to the next one.